It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis, and have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner and founder of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. You can find us on all the socials, and Cannabama.com is almost ready. I think I even maybe still a little bit believe that, but it really is true. Anyway, I want to get right into the show. We've got a huge, huge, important topic to talk about tonight. Very important guest. But first, current events. Cannabama went to Pet Fest. It was great. Our tent only got blown completely out of the ground one time and hit a lady in the head. I'm not laughing at her. It was terrible. But anyway, the event was great. And we look forward to doing that again in the fall. And of course, we have 420 coming up April 20th. From noon to 6 p.m. At Cannabama, we're going to have a block party. The park is not available, so we're going to do it at the house. And so we want to put it out there that we are still we do still have a few vendor spots available. And then anybody who is with a nonprofit organization, a campaign, any kind of a community organization that wants to come out and shake hands and pass out information, you know, that kind of thing, we are not charging a fee for that. You can just let us know you want to come and come set up a table that Saturday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I know we've talked about it a lot, and I don't want to waste too much time because it seems a little bit crazy to me. I've felt a little bit crazy the last 2 weeks planning a party to celebrate the freedoms we do have and the plant and what it's done for all of us while we are also fighting for our lives. And with that, I will give an update on HB 65. Last week, it passed the House unanimously, which was sickening for us to watch, but we sort of knew it was going to happen. Not sure why we're having so much trouble getting consumers and business owners in Alabama to make public comment and to call their senators now, because now it goes to the Senate, and let them know that this is not okay. I don't know how many more ways I can explain how big a disaster it will be if this bill passes, but this week they are out again. They had spring break last week, the week before last. Then they worked for 3 days, and now they're off again. So I think that's for Easter. It has to be for Easter. But we could end up on the calendar next week, you know, and the session lasts until May 20th. We have no idea. We get very little notice. But the biggest issue that is new is that apparently they've had this bill moved. It was supposed to go to the Senate Judiciary Committee. If you remember last year, it got there, and that's when I went up there and attempted to get to participate in that meeting and speak, but wasn't actually allowed to get on the list. But instead of that, it has now been moved to the Children and Youth Health Committee for obvious reasons. You know, they keep using this banner of Save the Children, even though they're going to impose fines on children. A lot of them who cannot or will not, you know, their parents can't or won't pay these fines will end up in the juvenile system. You know, I don't know who that saves. It certainly doesn't save small business, and it certainly doesn't save the freedom of choice that the citizens of Alabama have to choose an alternative to cigarettes, to quit smoking. And so we're going to still have a public hearing. However, we already know Vivian Figures is on this committee, and we know that last year she backed Barbara Drummond on this bill so committedly that she said 100,000 children in Alabama would die if we didn't pass the bill last year. So we know not to. We know that she's not going to vote in our favor, and there are several members that were completely against cannabis and things like that. So we're not too optimistic, but we still have to try. We have to try. And if we could get a tidal wave of public outcry on these issues, you know, flood their emails and their voicemails, and but the public comment. Anytime anybody opens that bill, they will see our comments. You can't hide that or sweep that under the rug. That's public. And that's what we need. And you know, we're just, you know, unabashedly begging for it at this point because we can only make one comment each. Anyway, so we're still working with the option of amending the bill as well, hopefully to exclude CBD, because the CBD doesn't need to fall under tobacco and nicotine. It has nothing to do with it. It's a completely different thing and a completely different plant and process. And we are already under the jurisdiction of the Ag Department that knows intimately what's legal and what's not and what we're doing. So, you know, go follow us. It's on the Sweet Home Cannabama page. It's on my Instagram. It's on my personal Facebook. The QR code that says leave public comment. Share it. Please, just please leave public comment. You know, we've got to have help from consumers. So I want to go ahead and get into the show tonight, and I want to introduce our guest. Her name is Stacy Hamilton, and Stacy is the owner of a company called Boro Hemp in Gadsden, Alabama. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so I wish we had done this sooner. So I want you to first tell us who you are. I know some of my listeners may remember you guys were involved in 420 the first year, and I wondered last year why you weren't, and now I realize this is why.
This is absolutely why.
Yes. Okay, so tell us what Boro Hemp does.
So we are a manufacturer of hemp products. We manufacture approximately 500 unique products. Our claim to fame is more contract manufacturing and white label. We support other brands more than we push our own. We, of course, have a Boro Hemp brand, and we have a little bit more hip, a little more younger version with Twisted Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
But those are not – we more work with larger manufacturers or larger companies, larger brands to support them.
Right. Such as, like, if I called you up and said, hey, I would really like to have my own vape line or my own tincture line or whatever, but I don't grow it and I don't process it, I would come to somebody like you in order to do that.
Yes. And our specialty, what we really specialize in are two unique areas. We're very much into health and wellness. We create ailment-specific capsules. We probably have the most expensive line in the United States, and that's over the cannabis and the hemp industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then also edibles. Edibles are our thing. I mean, I've been making candy for the past 40 years of my life. I mean, it's just always been a passion of mine, and marrying that together to make hemp and cannabinoids more digestible, more appealing.
Right, less scary.
Is a big thing for me because medicine shouldn't always have to taste bad.
Well, right. I mean, you know, a spoonful of sugar, you know.
Right?
Well, and edibles they're a less scary way to consume the plant. So many people immediately associate using cannabis with smoking the raw bud. And that is, you know, that's scary. And they think of, you know, whatever. I don't know what people think of anymore. But, you know, a lot of people, I always usually ease people in with topicals first because they're not even ingesting. But it is a scary thing when you don't really understand the plant and you don't want that other side of it where people can use it for relaxation and recreation.
Right, and I think that the recreational side of it is huge.
Oh, it is.
And I think it's very valuable and important. We focus, our company focuses on the medical benefits. However,
yes,
we have a massive database I've been researching for about the past 10 years, the minor cannabinoids and terpenes and just how everything marries together very well to create specific issues, that it creates I don't want to say cures because it's not a good word.
Well, it's targeted. It's more targeted. I love this too, adaptogenics and using other herbs even. You can custom design the supplement. I don't want to use the wrong words either. You can custom design your capsule so that it is targeted with certain elements of the plant so that they get the desired result no matter the condition. And that's what's so versatile about the plant.
Exactly. That we've only just barely scratched the surface of what this plant can actually do. And it's so, so, so exciting and to be involved in the research and the development of these products.
Yes.
And just to understand the benefits. I mean, from cannabis, you can replace things like Adderall.
Stacey, I got to stop you right there so we can go to commercial break. We'll pick right back up after the break.
Gotcha.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we're talking with Stacey Hamilton, owner of Boro Hemp in Gadsden, Alabama. Stacey, you were just telling us about all the great things that Boro Hemp does, all the research that you do, the types of products, how extensive they are, customizable, and that you are making products for other brands. So you guys really shine in the product development once you take that raw material and you make it into things that people actually are willing to taste and try, and they're clean and they're tested, and I know your products are good.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of years researching the products and developing them into the very best there is on the market. I won't say that we're better, but I'll say we're as equal to any product on the market.
I definitely agree. I know you guys have a pretty big reputation, so I always have people ask me, oh, hey, do you know Boro Hemp? So, yeah, yep. So you obviously, I can hear the passion in your voice. You obviously, this is your work. This is like me. This is your life's work. This is what you're passionate about. You feel like this is your calling, right?
Yes, 100%.
And you're serious about it, and you do it the right way, and you follow the law and all the regulations and all those good things, right?
100%.
Okay, so now let's get to the not so pleasant part. I'm just going to say, let's start with your visit from the Alabama Department of Health. Tell us what has been happening up there in Gadsden.
So in January of 2023, the Department of Health came in. Rita Wagner was the lead inspector. She came in and made a statement that she was there to observe and report. She was very specific that she wasn't there to inspect our facility. Although at the end of it, she did say we more than met their requirements to receive a permit if we were not adulterating food products with cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm.
They then, a week later, sent us a cease and desist letter, told us to destroy all of our products. There were several renditions because apparently they don't understand what cannabinoids are, which is really
right.
Funny that somebody who doesn't even understand what the term itself is,
right,
is trying to regulate our industry. That's scary.
Right. Well, on top of the fact that there isn't anything to back them up on this. But let's get back to this inspector.
Right. So I immediately, when she left, called the Department of Agriculture and spoke with them and said, we've been visited by the Department of Health, and I'm not sure what to do here because I didn't know that they had anything to do with hemp products. And
right.
He immediately responded with, that's because they don't.
Well, let me stop you there. How long had you been in business when this happened?
We've been in business since 2017. We bought a facility in Gadsden, and we opened in June of 2022. So we had been open for about 7 months.
Okay, I thought you guys had been open longer than that.
No.
But you had never had to get a license through the Department of Health or pay them a license fee or have any other interaction with them up to this point?
No, and I was, really concerned about it when we moved when we moved into Gadsden, I mean, making sure that we had all the proper paperwork, permits,
right,
and everybody had signed off that we could be there and then
right,
everything was good was really important to us because, you know, hemp seems to make people nervous.
I did the same thing. I did the same thing. The DEA, lawyers, I asked mm-hmm, everybody.
So our understanding was the Department of Health had nothing to do with hemp products.
And then the Ag Department confirmed that, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
We went back and forth. We attempted to file an appeal through the Department of Health. We realized that we were not going to get justice there, so we withdrew that, and then we filed a lawsuit against them. And that's where we have been for the past year, is going back and forth to court with them on this issue. We're in front of Judge Anderson, who I think is a very fair and reasonable, rational judge who just wants a reasonable, rational outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like for us to achieve that on our own. However, that has not been possible because they really don't want to work with us at all.
Right. And you were told face-to-face, we're not going to work with you.
Yes, they told me the equivalent of, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah.
That was at the Attorney General's office. We were there, and he's like, we don't negotiate with people who sue us. And
wow,
it's like, well, you're shutting down a small business for not breaking the law, not doing anything wrong. So what was my alternative?
Well, let me ask you
this.
Shut down
and go quietly away.
If you're breaking the law, why aren't you in jail?
That would be really interesting to know. I'd be interested to know
that. Has anybody asked that? Have you even thought about that?
They were actually going to have us arrested. We were able to get the preliminary injunction in place before they were able to obtain arrest warrants for myself and my partner.
What was the arrest warrant for?
We were dealing drugs, apparently, by selling hemp.
Now, they know good and well that they're never going to make that stick, right? Or do they not know?
I would hope so.
Sometimes I can't tell if they really just don't know and haven't bothered to read a single thing ever, or if they just think we're dumb enough to believe that they don't know what they're doing.
They're very, very, very shocked that we fought back. That's the one thing that's come up several times in these hearings.
Why wouldn't you fight back for your livelihood?
Apparently, you're just supposed to accept what they say and go on. You shut your doors, do whatever. Doesn't matter what
Mm-mm.
you've done or what you've invested. If they say no, then it's no, and you quit and you go on.
Well, that's probably because not a lot of other businesses, whether it's retail, farms, or processing or anything, are very vocal or very public, I think. I think that they realize everybody's too scared to stick their head up too far. And they think that we're going to run at the first sight of trouble. But, I mean, the law is on your side here. Am I wrong?
The law is 100% on our side. We're not breaking the law. They know that we're not breaking the law.
There's not even like an interpretation of a law. There is no law.
Nothing. They're basing it off of guidelines, not law, guidelines from the FDA. And the FDA,
the FDA, who refuses,
statement.
Who refuses to actually officially regulate us.
100%. And they just recently made a statement saying that there is no way to regulate hemp products through the food safety program that they have.
Mm-mm.
That's not possible. So they're asking the legislature to write new regulations, to write new legislation to address this.
Well, and
but
you
our,
have to think it goes
Alabama,
back to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say you would think it would go back to the fact that there's never been a process in place to regulate natural remedies because the government refuses to approve them. So why have a process in place when we're never going to approve? If they haven't approved vitamin C and things like that, you know, so there's no process for them to even, you know, I guess model it by. There's just nothing there.
No, there absolutely isn't. But the Department of Agriculture was given the authority by the state of Alabama to regulate hemp products. in the state of Alabama.
Yep.
They were given the overall arching authority to do so. They wrote their guidelines. Didn't have any. We weren't breaking any of those guidelines. Hadn't done anything wrong.
Or they had. Or they would have been the first ones to yank your license.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have a state-issued license. You're following all the state guidelines. You have to show the state that you're following the rules by doing all your testing and having site visits and all sorts of random checks, and the health department with no law on the books on their side. Can they really do this?
Well, they think they can, and that's unfortunate.
Well, who's told them so? Because somebody's propping this up.
The attorney general is propping this up.
Well, that's a shocker.
Yeah, the judge ordered us to go into the attorney general's office and try to reach a compromise.
And that's when he said, we're not going to talk to you because you sued us.
Correct.
Which was the only option you had besides lay down and take it.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay, so the judge granted a temporary restraining order that you guys went and sought against the health department and Dr. Scott Harris, the state health officer, blocking them from taking any action against you, which would put you out of business. So the judge said, no, you're not allowed to do that, and that you guys demonstrated under the Alabama Code supporting case law that without the restraining order, you would suffer immediate and irreparable injury for which there is no adequate remedy at law. So I want to get into this when we come back from the break, because the judge has obviously already basically said, okay, this isn't okay. I'm going to grant this restraining order, because otherwise why would he side with you? You know, there has to be some sort of basis in fact that this is not okay. And then, you know, he's defending you, basically saying, you know, that yes, this would cause irreparable damage and there's no law to fix this for you. And even went on to say that you had at least a reasonable chance of success on the ultimate merits of the case. I'd say that's a pretty strong argument that you would win this situation. You know?
Correct. And unfortunately, we could win if we had a bottomless checking account.
When we come back from the break, we'll pick up right there. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 o'clock. You can live stream from the website, and then you can even go find it on all your favorite streaming services as a podcast. Please, please, when the show is over and is up on the podcast, we'll post it. Please share this show, because what is happening here to Stacy, to Boro Hemp, to her 17 employees, you know, and all the people that depend on them for products, the companies that are not even in Alabama that they make products for. This affects so many people, but they've done nothing wrong. They've broken no law. They have done nothing wrong. And even the agriculture department, who is in charge of making sure they stay in line, says that the health department has no jurisdiction. And yet here we are. You know, I want to go back. And so, Stacy, we know the judge knows what's up. But, you know, there's all this legal stuff. I know we talked about this right now. What you said is you've run out of money. So you don't have lawyers anymore.
No, my attorney, Christy Knowles from Knowles and Sullivan here in Gadsden, I'm not able to pay her. I owe her probably about $30,000 total. In total, about $60,000 we still have outstanding in legal debt. And the issue is we're fighting this fight for the entire state.
That's
right. If we lose, all edibles leave the state of Alabama, and I do not care who makes it, and I don't care who's selling it. They're coming after us all, guns a-blazing.
No, so you can feel it. You can feel it coming, like a doom.
Yes. Mm. If they and if they run us out of money, and in my honest opinion, and no, they haven't said that to me directly, in my honest opinion, that's their goal, is
no,
to run
absolutely.
Us out of money.
Yes, that's what big people, big states and federal governments, that's what big giant corporations, that's what BB&T Bank did, you know,
right.
To me. They have the money to outrun you. You know, when you have to, I've said it 1,000 times, when you have to file a lawsuit because something has gone wrong, you're already compromised. You've already right. lost something, maybe even a lot. And then it costs years. And this is the only recourse a business has. And I see here that you're not allowed to sue the state for damages.
No, we can't. Even if we're if it comes back, and it will, that we are 100% correct and they are 100% incorrect, there's no money coming back to us. The hundreds of thousands of dollars that we've spent, that's just gone.
Right. So even if you win the lawsuit and are able to continue doing business as usual, you've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Correct.
Mm. And I'm sure more than a little bit of sanity. So we're talking about, okay, so they've gone back and corrected themselves because they don't have any idea about the terminology here and the chemistry, but they issued food condemnation orders directing you to stop making edible products and destroy your existing stock. How much would that have cost, just the existing stock? Oof.
Oh, you're talking probably $200,000-$300,000 just right there by itself.
I can imagine. I almost thought it would be a lot more than that. The order stated it's illegal to manufacture or sell food containing CBD or cannabinoid derivatives in Alabama as a violation of the department's rules for food processing establishment sanitation, and that Boro failed to obtain a food manufacturing processing sanitation license from the health department. Can they make these titles any longer?
They can't. And what's funny about that statement is they were never going to give us one. They're not going to give us one. And we were directed by the Department of Agriculture not to worry about it because they regulated us. I called specifically before we opened our doors and asked that question.
Okay, so then the department later expanded the scope of its order to include not just CBD, but edibles with all cannabinoids, including, and I'm not sure who wrote this, Delta 8, Delta 9, and THC. I know this is an article that someone else wrote, not you, but I laughed at that because not even the reporter got it right.
Right.
So we're talking about chocolates, gummies, lollipops, you know, all the goodies, right? That makes up 90% of your business?
Yes, even tinctures are something that you put in your mouth. So
exactly.
That technically is against the law.
That's right. So if we're out here making stuff up as we go along, why not, right? I mean, that's kind of what the sheriff's doing by just allowing people to get searched and arrested because of a smell in the air. So why not? It's just... anyway.
Now we're going to decide what Alabamians can put in their mouth.
Right.
Not just what they can smoke.
Well, and I mean, Alabama is really on a roll this year. Pardon the pun there. But, I mean, look at the IVF situation. It's like they're trying to piss off the rest of the world. And the DEI thing. You know, every hot-button controversial issue that involves smaller groups of people, it's like, what? Are you trying to set this place on fire? You know, what the heck is happening? And now this, it's coming from all sides. You know, that they're failing in the legislature because we have to go up and fight bills like HB 65. And so far, we've managed to not completely get bulldozed yet. But they're playing dirty now. Using the Children's Committee is dirty. I don't care who you are. So,
you know, they've been using the children for so many years with whole vape thing. Mm. It's all about the kids because they have to put them out there first.
It's ironic.
How do you...
Yeah, it's ironic because they want the people that regulate alcohol are doing such a great job keeping alcohol from kids. Let's give them two more totally different industries, and they can handle it.
How about Philip Morris? I mean, how well are they doing keeping tobacco from children?
Exactly.
You know, Altria. This is such a huge issue. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, if I wanted those things, I found them.
Well, and guess what? You got them at a gas station. I'm willing to bet. And I'm not going to let this go. This is if you want to say that children are getting vapes at an epidemic, if it really is 7 and 8 year olds out here getting vapes, they're not walking into a store like mine that has nothing to do with nicotine and buying nicotine vapes. Why am I in this? They're not walking into a 21 and over vape shop and buying vapes. They're going to gas stations. It boggles me. In Alabama, you have to have a license to sell liquor, and you have to have a license to sell nicotine, and they have to be 21 and older establishments. And then there's the gas station, the Alabama gas station, where you can get fried food, you can get beer, you can get nicotine, and you don't have to be but 12 years old. And right. You can pay with your food stamps. You know? What the heck? This is why this is happening. Mm-hmm. It's gas stations that don't care. I've watched them sell to kids nicotine, alcohol. You know, I've hear my kids' friends tell me stuff that would make your toes curl. And they're happening right here in our communities, and it's gas stations. Anyway, so let's go back to this. There's a public notice from the Alabama Health Department, I see. Guidance on Alabama law regarding the possession, use, sale, or distribution of CBD for its stance that a do-not-sell food condemnation order would be issued if food containing CBD was found at an establishment operating under one of its permits. I'm trying to even make sense of what that even said. I really don't understand it.
So any product that is consumed orally,
mm-hmm,
and contains any type of cannabinoid,
mm-hmm,
according to the Department of Health, is illegal.
And only the Department of Health.
Not just in the state of Alabama.
Oh, but everywhere.
Also across the United States. It is illegal for you to adulterate a food product with cannabinoids, even though the FDA has already said, we can't regulate this under our current guidelines.
Right, and there are literally consumption lounge licenses going out, where people are purposefully establishing businesses where people can gather together and consume infused foods in the legal market and in states like ours where people are using hemp. I mean, we do it because there's no law against it.
Well, I have news for you, Jennifer. The Department of Health would definitely disagree.
Okay, so let's talk about what this means. We're beating a dead horse. We all know that there's no law to back this up. So let's talk about what this actually is going to do. First of all, tell us how it will affect you at Boro Hemp.
So we will, if we lose this case, and because we do not have money to continue to move forward, Boro Hemp will immediately close our doors. We'll file bankruptcy. All 17 employees will be laid off. And we're done. I mean, we're done helping people. We're done, you know, finding things that help people with natural healing. That's all done. We're done. But what happens next is the most scary part of all. You take out a small business, it's just one. What's the big deal? 17 employees, who cares? Every single person who consumes hemp in the state of Alabama via edibles loses.
Yep.
Every company across the United States that sells into the state of Alabama loses.
Yep.
Every company that manufactures or sells it here in the state of Alabama loses, because they're coming after us all.
And if even
the
companies.
Has any questions about that, you're welcome to get the court transcript. It's public record, and it will tell you. It lays out exactly where the Department of Health is going with this. And they're coming after your hemp products, I promise.
Right. They've basically said that. Where was that I read that? That they basically admitted that they were going to see how this panned out before they go after other businesses. Didn't I see that in this article?
Yes. Yes. They were shocked that we fought back, number one. Number two, when she was asked about it in court, their attorney said that they were waiting to find out if they won this case or not before pursuing other Alabama-based businesses. They're not going after people outside the United or outside the state of Alabama.
No, they're going after their own people.
After Alabama businesses only.
And that's the same thing. This has parallels again. This other bill, they are specifically targeting businesses in Alabama who have been operating peacefully, without incident, without some crazy outbreak of whatever they want us to believe would happen if weed was ever, you know, on the streets. Nothing. Nothing. We don't have people all over the ERs and stuff like that. Kids are still dying drinking alcohol on their prom night and on graduation night and you know, getting assaulted because they're impaired, you know, and they're still going to go get vapes. They're just going to go to Mississippi. They're just going to go somewhere else. All that revenue from what we do, it leaves. All the taxes we've been paying. I've been in business for almost 6 years now. And why haven't I gone to jail? Tell me. Right? It makes no sense. Why would they let me continue to break the law day in and day out for 5.5 years, giving me business licenses every year? They give me business licenses. You know, why would they allow that if everything I'm doing is against the law? When we come back, we're going to finish this up with Stacey Hamilton from Boro Hemp. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now, with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Stacey Hamilton of Boro Hemp, who is suing the Alabama Department of Health for trying to shut them down, saying that edibles are illegal to make, possess, or sell in the state of Alabama, which is absolutely not true. There is no single word on the law books in Alabama that says that, and they're basically starving you out, right, Stacey?
100%. And what's interesting is you said that it's not on the law books anywhere, but what is the 2016 Farm Bill and the 2018 Farm Bill that specifically in the very first line says food is included in hemp products. 100% clearly legal, clearly addressed. Last year, they passed the bill on Delta 8 products. That had to do with edibles as well. So our Alabama legislature has addressed this now three times, and all three times they have said, we're good.
Yep.
So if the law of our state, because the legislature is what writes law, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If the law in our state says that it's legal, how is the Department of Health saying, wait a minute, the FDA recommends? That's in the law.
Right. I can... Okay, so the Department of Health and the Attorney General are clearly attempting to write law versus enforce the law, which is their only job.
Their only job.
It's the legislature's job to write law and pass law. It's the Attorney General's job to enforce it, and it's the Department of Health's job to enforce it in a specific area. Period.
Correct.
So I don't even see how they can do any of this. Let me ask you this. Why isn't anybody above them stopping this? Is there anyone above them?
I'm sorry, Jennifer, you cut out on me.
I said, why isn't anyone who is above them stopping this?
I honestly can't imagine why no one is. And I will say that I've met a lot of legislators that agree with what I'm doing and support us. They're not all they're not all this way.
No, of course they're not. No.
As I said, has very clearly said that food, hemp food, is legal.
Right.
This is just a few rogue people. And you know, it just seems like our government is full of those people who just want to, they're not satisfied with what the legislature legislates into law. They want to create their own. And that this just feels like a power move. And it's just a,
well, let me, I don't know, you may, obviously you probably know a lot more about this process than me. And I might sound dumb asking this question, but who is the boss of who here? Is Steve Marshall over the health department? Is he their
Steve
boss?
Steve Marshall is tasked with enforcing the law.
And they're an agency of that, right? But what I'm saying is he who they answer to? Who does the health department answer to?
They do answer to him 100%.
Well, then it seems like he's using them as a weapon.
But
it's a pretty poor weapon if there's no actual legal precedent or legislation, anything. And in fact, they're saying the opposite of what the federal law is. I mean, none of it makes sense. That's what I can't get past. Okay, so one thing you said, let's see, besides the fact that the ultimate loser, besides the people that have poured everything they have into this, like me and you and all the other people that we know that are in this, because Alabama said, hey, welcome to the program. Let's make a whole industry, and we'll take your money and guide you, and we're going to let you do this. And then they come back in a couple years, and ever since the beginning, they've come back and, like, throat punch you just to make sure you really want it or something. I don't know what it is. Like, why create this whole program? And, well, I mean, maybe it sounds, you know, childish or simple, but none of this makes sense to me, you know? And so the customers, the patients, the people that we've helped that get off of heroin and meth and alcohol and diabetes medication, that get their memory back and that are able to sit still and get something accomplished or sleep, you know, all those people that won't qualify for medical still need to have an option. Why is this a big deal? You know, we've been peacefully operating all of this time with these products. No, there's no great epidemic of bad things happening or children roaming the streets with joints in their mouth. It makes no sense. And also, you purchased a building in an economically repressed area, right? You purposefully went to an area of the state that needed an economic boost.
Yes, we did. You know, there were two major manufacturers that moved out of Gadsden. One quite a while ago, Goodyear was the second one, but it left the entire town, Alabama City specifically, devastated. Those people haven't had jobs in forever, especially not decent paying jobs, not like living wage jobs. And we came in and brought we're down to 17 now, but we were looking to expand to 100 employees of skilled labor.
Mm. Well, I've been in that area. I visited that area. There's nothing there, hardly.
Nothing.
No, I mean, there was a McDonald's and like one other chain restaurant, and it's just like old shotgun houses and country road. It's beautiful, but it's not a big city where I would think you would be able to succeed in something like this, but you purposefully sought out an area that needed an economic boost, that needed job opportunities in the community, and then you guys donate. I mean, y'all came all the way down to Mobile for 420 to participate, you know, and you donate. You're improving the community around you, and you're just going to curl up and die if this doesn't go away.
We donate to the Humane Society, and we set up when we first hired our employees in Alabama City, we set it up so that they had breakfast, lunch, and snacks, because we know that's how broke they are, and I didn't want anybody to work without food.
Right. No, we do a lot in the community, too, because by nature, we're here to help people. That's what we want to do.
Right.
And we're in the people business. I say all the time, we're in the people business, and cannabis is the tool that we use. And we don't have a lot more time left. Stacy, where can people find you? I know you're trying to raise some money for your legal fees. I hooked you up with someone who's willing to come up there and do the hearing with you. We need attorneys that are willing to donate some time because you're not going to get paid. We'll all give you, we'll barter for you from all over the state. You'll get more products than you could ever shake a stick at. But, you know, but we need help. We need free help.
We need financial help. We need to get some of these legal bills paid down.
Yes.
I've had several people reach out today, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Mike from the Cannabis Association stepped in, and he's been helping. But we need donations, and we need donations pretty bad.
Right. And one thing I wanted to point out before we're done is something we don't have really time to discuss, but how this massive amount of enforcement that's about to come down, how is that going to create an even bigger burden on law enforcement? You know, we're not only are we not decriminalizing and easing that burden, now we're adding hemp stores and gummies and vape shops, thousands and thousands of businesses that they're now going to have to go one by one and police. And for what? You know, Stacy, tell us where we can find you.
You can find us at boroughhemp.com. Please reach out to me at Stacey, Stacey, at borough, B-O-R-O-Hemp, H-E-M-P.com. If you have any suggestions, solutions, or just want to offer words of support, we'd love to hear it.
Yes, and if you didn't write that down or you need help contacting Stacey and Borough Hemp, you can always reach out to us, Jennifer at Cannabama.com. You know where we're located. You know our phone number. We repeat it every week. Stacey, I want to say thank you so much for being willing to come on the show. I wish we had been able to talk about this sooner, but I would like to be able to talk about it again sometime as sort of the situation progresses. So I hope you'll come back and give us an update soon and keep us posted so that we can keep our listeners posted.
That sounds wonderful. And Jennifer, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you so much. We'll see you guys next Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5 at Sweet Home, Cannabama. Good night.